and welcome to the Journey Across the Universe podcast. I am your host and tour guide, Brendan Beddoes, and on today's episode, we are talking about the moon. We have all seen this beautiful object illuminate the night sky like nothing can. We see its different phases every month, and it truly is a beautiful object. But what's really beautiful about the moon, most people don't actually know. So today, we'll take a dive and learn more about our beautiful satellite in one step for a podcast and one giant leap for podcast kind in this episode of Journey Across the Universe. Let's begin by talking about some of the basic facts about the moon. First, let's talk about how it was formed and how it came to be. Now, this isn't a consensus in the scientific community. Scientists don't actually agree on how the Earth was able to form this moon. But there is one prevailing theory, and that theory is that billions of years ago, about 4 or 5 billion years ago, a large object collided with what they call a proto-Earth, or Earth before it is what it is today. And when that object collided with Earth, it actually caused some debris to enter into Earth's atmosphere and orbit and actually came together and created our moon. And so that is the general prevailing theory. But again, scientists don't actually have a concrete idea of how the moon showed up. So the moon may look like just like a circle in our night sky, but it's actually not as spherical as you may think. The moon actually has more of a oval shape, and that's because of the Earth's gravitational pull on it. The Earth's gravitational pull actually causes the shape to go a little bit more oval instead of that perfect sphere. The gravity on the moon, because the moon is a lighter object, we've talked about Einstein's theory of relativity and his theory of gravity in space-time. So because of the moon's smaller mass, it actually has a lot less gravity. It actually has about 1/6 of the gravitational force that Earth does. And the word moon actually comes from an old English word that means month. Now, there's a few different avenues that this went through, a few different changes to this word, but the root of the word used to mean month. And that is because, if you didn't know this already, the moon actually goes through all of its phases in about 27 to 28 days, which is about the length of a calendar month. And so ancient civilizations were actually able to keep a calendar based on the moon because of its rotation and its phases. The moon also has a lot of different craters. You'll sometimes hear these called seas, like the Sea of Tranquility. These are to describe the craters on the moon because the craters are actually thought to have been former places where water was. It's actually thought that the craters on the moon held water at some point in the past. And there's actually been some recent scientific evidence to back up the fact that there was actual liquid water on the moon at some point. So also, you'll hear a lot about the dark side of the moon. This is essentially just the other side of the moon that we don't see. Because of the way that the moon turns on its own axis and the Earth does the same thing, and then the moon is orbiting the Earth, people from Earth only see one side of the moon. We only see about 55 to 59% of the surface of the moon based on your perspective. And it's because of all of these different mechanics in place, but there's one side of the moon that is just never seen from Earth, often called the dark side of the moon. It's actually falsely called the dark side of the moon because the dark side is actually illuminated just as often as the side that we see. It's more just the far side of the moon that we aren't seeing as often. And the first picture of the far side of the moon was actually taken by the Soviet Union back in the late 1950s. But there's been some research and study on the far side of the moon and the dark side of the moon. And there's actually some talk about future exploration to the far side of the moon. So we'll have to wait and see when we get more information about that. But for now, we can just know that the far side of the moon is kind of in pop culture and a lot of different media is kind of the stereotype or the prototype for what we view as like mysterious. Because like we've said, we actually don't see that side of the moon at all. And so that side of the moon has kind of become this prototype for mysteriousness and mystery. And so that's kind of cool. But again, it's not quite the dark side of the moon. It's just the far side of the moon because it's actually lit up quite a bit. So those are some basic facts of the moon and kind of its general composition. But one of the biggest moments in American and world history actually involved the moon, and that is the moon landing. In the early 1960s, John F. Kennedy, president at the time, gave an incredibly rousing, incredibly motivating speech at Rice University. The speech was titled, "We Choose to Go to the Moon," and it was an incredibly important part for the moon landing and just the space community in general. He talked about how we go to the moon and we choose to go to the moon, not because it is easy, but because it is hard. And we want to do the hard things in this life because that is how we get fulfillment and that is how we stretch our knowledge and continue learning about the world around us. So fast forward a little over 8 years to July 1969, and NASA is now ready to finally launch a mission to put a man on the moon. This was the Apollo 11 mission, the first ever mission where humankind stepped on the moon, stepped on a different world besides Earth. So on July 20th, 1969, we saw a man step foot on the moon for the first time. Now, the three astronauts involved in this mission on Apollo 11 are named Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins. Now, not a lot of people know about Michael Collins because he didn't participate in the actual spacewalk. He was up in the command center orbiting around Earth, but he was really an instrumental part in that mission, and they really could not have done it without him. So, quick shout out to Michael Collins. I know he always gets forgot about in these conversations, but we love you, man, if you're listening. So these three brave men are on Apollo 11 and they launch up to the moon. Now, you gotta put in perspective that this is 1969. This is the 1960s. Technology has advanced a lot from then. For example, the smartphone that you're probably listening to this podcast from right now has more technology on it than the entirety of the Apollo 11 mission. They were not running on much. They had very little technological capabilities, but they were still able to get a rocket all the way to the moon and land and get a man on the moon. Back in the late 1960s, that is just incredible to me. The fact that we took the technology less than a current smartphone and were able to put a man on the moon millions of miles away. So we all know the famous words of the first man ever on the moon, Neil Armstrong. Neil Armstrong was actually the pilot of the Eagle, which was the landing ship, and they landed in the Sea of Tranquility. Now, when they began their descent, the Eagle actually wasn't working as well as it was supposed to, so Neil Armstrong actually had to take over the controls and land the Eagle himself, which they did successfully, obviously. So the computer was actually so overloaded with things to do that they were unable to continue the mission and land. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin had to take over. And then at around 4:17 Eastern time, they hear from the moon. Mission control hears from the Apollo 11, and they hear the words, "Houston, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed." Mission control erupts in celebration. They're going crazy. It's a great time. And then we hear the most famous, some of the most famous words in American history and world history and in this universe's history. That's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind, which is just the coolest sentence to say if you're going to be the first man on the moon. I hope he had that like planned, or it would be even cool if he didn't. I love that those were the first words on the moon. I find that absolutely incredible. And so this process of landing a man on the moon was part of over a decade long space race between America and the Soviet Union. It seemed like the Soviet Union was going to be the first country to put a man on the moon, but then America came through and put Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin on our satellite first. Now, this is where time can kind of confuse things. Because in our current society, we have a lot of people who are starting to appeal to the fact that the moon landing was faked. They say that the moon landing was just a conspiracy, was just filmed in a movie studio in order to beat Russia in the space race, and that the moon landing never actually happened. Now, there's a lot of things wrong with this, but I want to share some of the most compelling evidence that I have heard about this to definitively prove to just the average person that the moon landing most definitely took place. Now, I could talk about all of the different plans that they had, all of the different people that worked on it, their testimonies, the astronauts themselves, but I'm sure that there are arguments against all of those things. So the most compelling piece of evidence for me is the fact that in the video of the moon landing, the sand on the surface of the moon moves in a water/liquid type way. It doesn't move like sand here on Earth does. And that is because of the very low gravity and very minimal atmosphere, you're essentially in a vacuum when you're on the moon. And so to replicate that kind of movement from sand on Earth, you would have to create a vacuum chamber. Now, if you know anything about how vacuums work, you know that in a vacuum, things tend to want to fill a vacuum. The universe and the laws of physics do not like it when there are places that aren't filled with anything. So they're always trying to fill empty voids and vacuums. So it is an incredible amount of pressure in order to build a vacuum on Earth. And it is physically impossible to build a vacuum chamber the size of what would be required for a faked moon landing. So if you just look at the video and see how the physics is reacting in that video, it could not have possibly been done on Earth. And so for any of you out there that still believe that the moon landing is fake, I highly encourage you to do a little bit of research, but I promise you from all the evidence that we have and all the reports, I guarantee you that the moon landing did in fact take place on July 20th, 1969. So now that we have got that cleared up, the moon landing is one of the most interesting things to me. I love not only the commitment to space exploration. I am a huge space nerd. I started a space podcast, you can probably already tell. And I love the idea that in the early 60s, we had the President of the United States challenging us to get to the moon, to explore what we didn't know about. And by the end of the decade, we were able to do just that. And it really shows that as a country and as a group of people, we can really do anything that we really set our minds to and we really have a commitment to do. So I absolutely love the moon landing. It is one of the coolest things. I can't go into a ton of detail on this podcast, but if you are more interested on the moon landing, feel free to go research it. And you can even go and comment on the post that on the Instagram at Journey Across the Universe, the post about this episode. If you want to hear more about the moon landing, then comment moon landing and I will know that you guys want another episode exclusively about the moon landing. But I absolutely love it and it is so interesting to talk about. So now that we've talked about the moon and the moon landing, let's move on to our fun facts. Now, it would not be an episode of Journey Across the Universe if we did not have some fun facts. So let's get right to it. My first fun fact for today is that there have been 12 people to step on the surface of the moon. The first one, like we've talked about, was Neil Armstrong back in 1969. And the last one was Eugene Cernan. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Hopefully. I'm sorry, Eugene, if I'm not. But the last person to step on the moon, Eugene, stepped on the moon in 1972. It's actually been about 50-ish years since we've had someone step on the moon. But that won't be true for long because NASA is launching the Artemis space program. If you know a little bit of Greek mythology, you'll know that Apollo and Artemis are two Greek gods. They're actually brother and sister twins in Greek mythology. And so that should give you enough information to tell you that the Artemis program is going to be very similar to the Apollo program in the sense that their goal is to put man back and women back on the moon. So the Artemis program is set to launch back to the moon in 2024 is when they are aiming for the next manned flight back to the moon. So by 2024, we should have another manned space flight to the moon. Now, this Artemis program isn't just focusing on getting people on the moon, much like the original Apollo mission was. This mission is going far more in depth. This mission is to explore more of the moon's surface than we ever have before. We also want to have the first men or women to step on the far side of the moon or the dark side of the moon. And we also want to build a base on the moon to aid in further exploration. A lot of you know that NASA and SpaceX, another private space company owned by Tesla owner Elon Musk, are trying to get to Mars right now. The goal right now in a lot of space communities is to get to Mars. It's kind of the next destination, the next benchmark that we're looking at. But the thing is that Mars is a really long ways away. It takes about 3 years round trip and because of the different fueling and the amount of time it takes. It's just a lot of work. And to cut into that work, there's actually plans to build a base on the moon in order to launch from the moon to Mars. And so a big part of this Artemis mission is they want to build a base on the moon in order to make the travel to Mars a little bit easier. And then also just some general things with further exploration and a more deep understanding of the moon and its surface. Another fun fact that I find particularly fascinating is that We have all seen, or at least heard of, solar eclipses. Now, this is when the moon passes in front of the sun, and it gives off this really cool shape of a, like, blackened sun. Now, the reason that this is possible is actually really interesting, because we obviously know that the sun is so much bigger than the moon. So why is it in our sky the sun and the moon look about the same size, and the moon is actually able to cover up the sun every once in a while? Now, the reasoning for this is because the sun is about 400 times the size of the moon, but it is also about 400 times farther away from Earth than the moon. And because that number is the same, it actually works out that they both look the same size from our apparent perspective in the sky. So that's a really cool and interesting fact there, that the reason that the sun and the moon look the same size, even though they are far from it, is because there's a direct proportion to how far the sun is and how much bigger it is to the moon. And last but certainly not least, some of you may have heard the joke that the moon is actually made of cheese. It's a really funny joke that likes to get passed around, that the moon is actually made of cheese. And in my research for this, I actually was looking for some civilization or some community that actually believed that the moon was really made of cheese. Because I thought, where else could this come from if there was not at least one or two groups of people who actually believed this? But what I found out is that the fact that the moon is made out of cheese has actually been a joke from its beginnings. The phrase to convince someone that the moon is made out of cheese is actually just a idiom of sorts to explain how gullible someone is. So they used it a lot in, like, Dark Ages, Middle Ages, timed Europe, in explaining that someone was very gullible. They would say, oh, you could convince that person that the moon was made out of green cheese. They said green cheese. I don't really know why, but that was the saying. Oh, you could convince them that the moon was made out of green cheese. And so the people that will joke around saying that the moon is made out of cheese, it's actually the entire history of it is just a big joke about how gullible some people can be. So if you came here thinking that the moon was made out of cheese, I am so sorry to crush your dreams, but it is actually just a big space rock out in Earth's orbit. So that comes to the end of our moon episode. I know I wasn't able to go into a whole lot of depth here because the moon is so fascinating and there's a lot to cover. If you guys would like a part two to this moon episode, go to the post over on the Journey Across the Universe Instagram account and just comment part two or even moon landing from that previous segment, and I'll know that you guys want more episodes about the moon. And we can go a little bit more in depth on certain aspects of it, and I'll be sure to carve out some time for that. But yeah, for now, that is all that I have for you. And so I hope that you can take this and look up at the sky tonight if you can see the moon, and look at it with a little bit more appreciation of what you now know. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Journey Across the Universe podcast. If you liked it, please leave a positive review. I'd really appreciate it, and it really helps the show to grow. Another way to support is to tell all of your friends and family about this marvelous adventure that we have embarked on. We are always welcoming new passengers. Follow our Instagram account at Journey Across the Universe for updates on the show and to know when the next episode will drop. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, and I will talk to you next time on Journey Across the Universe.